Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope you're feeling good out there. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you to kick off this hour, and we're joined right now by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Michael Kara here.
Oh, it's Michael. Hey, Michael, how you been?
Hey, I'm doing just great.
Hey, good to hear. What has Mother Nature got in store for us, Michael?
Well, fairly quiet conditions out there for today and into your Tuesday, and still trending warmer than average as well. Kind of a hazy look to that sunshine for today. We're headed up to some lower 80s for highs by this afternoon, which is a good 10 degrees above average for this time of year, along with some light south to southwest winds around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then for tonight, partly cloudy skies, overnight lows dropping back into the lower 50s, and we'll manage one more day with some lower 80s for high temperatures there for tomorrow with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. For Tuesday night, partly cloudy skies, overnight lows dropping back into the lower 50s. Behind a weak cold frontal boundary on Wednesday, then some cooler conditions making a return will ease back to a high of 65 degrees there midweek. Upper 60s for highs on Thursday, and those temperatures continuing to moderate for Friday and into your upcoming Memorial Day weekend. Still not expecting any precipitation there. Friday, ample sunshine up to 74. Lots of sunshine on Saturday, upper 70s for highs, and just a very slight chance for some isolated showers or thunder showers Sunday and into your Memorial Day Monday. But still, I think the majority of us will stay dry and mild. Sunday, upper 70s, could approach that 80-degree mark by the time we get to Memorial Day Monday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Greatly appreciate the time, Michael. Thank you so much for all that. We'll talk again tomorrow, maybe. Or not. Maybe not. We'll see. Maybe not. Maybe I put him on the spot there. I don't know. But thank you. Big shout out to the best in the business, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Thank you so much to them for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here. And we're going to dive right into a fun one right now, everybody. We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club around the corner. Looking forward to that. But Time Out Magazine ranked the 60 best songs of the 80s, from alternative to pop to hip-hop. And we're going to go through. We're going to see how good this list is.
All right.
First up, does anybody know what Time Out Magazine is?
No.
Okay, because neither do I, and I purposely did not look. I did not want to go ahead and look into it right away. I figured if I didn't know going into the conversation, I wasn't going to go ahead and just bring it up right now or anything. So, yeah, I'm not sure either, everyone. And I am going to try something a little different here, because I like to let the audience look behind the curtain and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We usually do this using the computer and pulling the sound off of there, then Melissa can't always hear it because we're funneling through the same thing on the board.
Right.
Then Melissa's coming through. It's the same thing. Our audio comes through off of YouTube or WAV files or anything like that. We do have quite a collection of music because, of course, in our changes in the last couple of years, we used to be a music station for like a half a second.
Right.
And we got this big conglomerate of music in our system and everything. So some of these songs I'm going to try to pull from there.
Okay.
And some of them I will try to pull from the YouTube. And, of course, we're not going to play the whole songs for you. That would make this segment last about 5 hours. So we'll just go through this list and throw your comments in there as you like.
Okay.
And that includes the audience, 424-2600. Yes. Go ahead and let us know your favorite 80s songs, especially if they're not on the list. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's got to be, it's got to be from, of course, the 80s, but it has to have broadened. But there's certain things to make an 80s song. And we're going to see if these songs have that or not, okay?
Okay.
So number 20 on the list is Every Breath You Take from the Police.
Yep.
Okay.
Classic stalker song.
Exactly.
It really is. And Sting kind of like tries to tell you, he's like, look, this is not a love song, you guys. Like he tries to tell people that, and they continue to use that song as a love song or hold it up as one and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I at least give the singer credit, the writer credit. That look, I've never tried to like tell you guys this was a great love song or something like that. It's even weirder when you know all that, and then like Puffy P. Diddy, whatever he wants to call himself, he samples that for a song about somebody he loved and everything going, and just I of all the songs you could sample, that ain't the one. Next up on the list, that worked all right. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, from Tears for Fears, classic.
This is just an iconic start to a song.
It really is. Yeah. Really is. And it's got the first rule to me to make something an 80s song. And it's right there. those keys, the synthesizer.
Yep.
It's got to have that. It's a classic. Still holds up. Still used in a ton of music, too. Like a ton of videos and everything, movies and everything.
Sammy Ray and Friends did a cover of this that I thought was just phenomenal. Sammy Ray and the Friends.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one. That is certainly one of those ones that holds up.
Absolutely.
Next up, How Soon Is Now from the Smiths. We were talking about emo earlier. You can't talk about emo and not talk about the Smiths, and certainly not How Soon Is Now. There's a couple good versions of that one, too, that I've heard. Speaking of similar conversation with Joy Division coming in number 17 with Love Will Tear Us Apart. Again, one of those things that you had in the 80s. I really feel like the a lot of the early 80s, Flock of Seagulls, a lot of that kind of look and style led into the emo kind of thing.
Yeah.
It gave more of I'm not saying you have one without the other, but if you're the emo kid and you saw these people with the crazy haircuts and all these things in the early 80s and stuff, you were like, well, what I'm doing isn't nearly as weird or bad or anything. And number 16 on the list, a classic. What's Love Got to Do With It from the icon Tina Turner. Now, Melissa, can you hear this?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Cool. So you can actually hear what we're doing for
us. And so can the audience. So call us in.
Appreciate it.
Call us up, 424-2600. Let us know what your favorite songs from this generation were.
This is a different one to me. Because this song, if it came out in 1964 or came out in 2022, it's a hit.
Yeah.
Exactly as it is right now. Even with the same beat, the same singer, everything. I still think it's a hit. It doesn't have all those essences of the 80s to me that like some of these other ones do.
This was kind of that bridge from that more R&B kind of feel into the poppy kind of stuff. So it was that nice bridge between the generations.
Yeah. Even if I didn't like this song, I would love the story of it.
Yeah.
Like how far... You hear Tina Turner's voice and everything, what she's singing here. Like, it's more than a song for her. But what it meant for her, too. The independence, having her first hit as a solo artist after everything she had been through. Just to rebound like that. Just to come back. Like, there's people that could have been through what she did, and you never hear from them again.
Right.
Or when you do, it's a tragic story. You know, i.e. Whitney Houston or anything like that. It's, it's pretty cool. Number 15 on the list... Dancing in the Dark with Bruce Springsteen. You can't have this. There's a couple of artists. If you're going to do a top 80s list, you've got to have on
there. Oh, yeah.
I think Tina's one of them. And you have to have The Boss on there.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way you can do this list and not have a Bruce Springsteen song. I would have also accepted Glory Days, but Dancing in the Dark also works.
There you go.
I think either of those fit. Tom Petty and Free Fallin'. That's a great one. The classic. A classic also, and now we're getting into another part of what makes it an 80s song, the video.
Oh, yes.
So many of these songs that we're going to play and that are going on, the video pops in your head, and you really, you cannot separate the two, like, especially for 80s kids.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, could you say that Free Fallin' wouldn't have been as big of a hit if it wasn't for the music video? Like, or would the video be as big if it wasn't for the song? You know, it's this chicken and egg kind of thing that happens. And I'm not saying I know or I have any data on this, like, oh, yes, the music video certainly helped out Tom Petty's career. Whatever, I don't know. But I don't think it hurt.
No.
I do think that one had to do with the other.
Well, in the 80s was the decade where music videos started to really become a thing. And that's when MTV started our generation. That's how we got to know music, was through the video as well.
Yeah,
people that had those channels. I didn't get to see those channels.
I know,
but
my grandmother had MTV. We did not. So I always looked forward to going to visit my grandmother.
Is there a statute of limitations on stolen cable? Is there? Next up on the list at number 13, my all-time favorite singer. Feeling, One and only Marvin Gaye. It's a classic. Nothing like Mr. Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. Sexual healing right there. All right, let's go ahead and go on to next at number 12 on the list, The Cure with Close to Me. The Cure had to show up on this list. I don't know if I would have chose that. I think I would have chose Love Song. I think that's a little bit more of an 80s and especially a Cure song, but Close to Me works. Lullaby would have been a good one as well. I would have taken that as an answer. And next up on the list, one of the more classic bands of the 80s, Talking Heads. This Must Be the Place, Naive Melody. David Byrne alone, like, it could be the 80s.
Yeah.
You know? Like, him alone could qualify as just 80s, like, just general.
Mm-hmm.
Good band. Touring again, too.
Oh.
Actually, fantastic video to introduce it to. For those that don't know, Talking Heads, famous for some of their video work.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of those videos, David Byrne has this really big, clunky, big suit on. And so he comes out, he walks out in the suit looking in a mirror and kind of like, okay, yeah, all right. And he tries to dance in it and he can dance in it. He's like, okay, I guess we can tour. The suit still fits, so we'll tour. It's basically it. Like, it's a fantastic, it's well, very well done. Very, very well done by them. Yeah, and Talking Heads, another one of those 80s bands. You almost have to mention them, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually proud of them for mentioning this next one because I didn't think it would be on this list, but I would have gotten on my soapbox on this one.
Okay.
Next up, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message. That beat is eternal. You heard this on the radio in the early 80s as a kid. Mm-hmm. You're like, ooh, okay, what's this new R&B? What's this? That sounds different. What is that? And then a bunch of us kids flipped out because we knew this song.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
This is real hip-hop. This is the essence of hip-hop. This is where it all begins. It's not with talking about a Rolex, talking about a girl, talking about any of these things. It's talking about the street, talking about giving you a perspective, giving you a POV of something that you probably didn't know about. And it was storytelling. They're telling stories here. They're not just sitting
right
there with auto-tune or singing half of the lyrics or anything like that. It's actual storytelling. It's actual poetry. It's no different than where blues started and trying to tell you giving you a point of view of that perspective, or country music or bluegrass or any of these other things. And this is the most important of all. A lot of people will tell you the Sugar Hill Gang's hit, you know, was the biggest and most important song in hip hop history. And it's hard to argue that one or anything. I don't really fight people on that. But this song, The Message, from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, it was the first song that told, hey, that's my perspective. That's my story. Somebody's actually telling my story, and they're telling it right. They're not telling it like in this perspective from the you know, quote unquote, you know, better side or what have you or anything like that. It was the definition of groundbreaking, that song. Coming up at number 9, David Bowie's Modern Love. Not a bad one.
No.
Good song. Good song right there. Very happy to see Cloud Busting by Kate Bush at number 8. Also interesting because that song was sampled quite a bit over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the more sampled songs. Again, we cannot talk about the 80s and not mention certain artists, and this is one of them. Express Yourself from Madonna. You got to have Madonna on this list.
Oh, absolutely.
You cannot do this list without having the Material Girl herself on this list. I will say, used to be in my playground. I know it was a big favorite by a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think that may be, that's top three for me for her.
Really?
Yeah. I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that beat. I like the essence of it. Yeah, it's a good song. I think that one holds up still.
I was surprised it wasn't Like a Virgin, because that song really established her.
Yeah, I agree with you. You would think that one would be up there for sure. Number three on the list, and I actually thought this would be a little bit higher up there and everything, but you can't, again, another artist, Madonna and Michael Jackson, you have to talk about them, and but what song of Michael Jackson's would they choose? Oh, that's right. A tough one right there. Well, I think there's really only one true choice. There could be some others. I would have taken, you know, Billie Jean. I think Billie Jean would work.
Oh, yeah.
But this intro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And the 80s were known for that. The long intros in the song.
Good
and you could figure
Beth.
Out what the song was. Yes.
From the rest of the song.
Eddie Van Halen's guitar. Like that, that right there is 80s. Like, and who doesn't picture the leather? Tell me you don't picture Michael's jacket. You know right away. No, right away.
And you're right. You see the video going on in your head as you're listening to this music.
I'm to believe Michael Jackson is a gangster. I'm to believe in this video that Michael Jackson is working the hard streets in New York, repping his colors and fights. It's a fun video. It's
and
a,
then
it's a fun
transitions
time.
Right into Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes.
How come he's not on this list?
I'm a little sad to not see Weird Al on the list. Yes, I'm with you on that, Beth. I'm 100%.
There's a couple I'm still waiting to hear, so.
Yeah. And let me see here. So we're wrapping up the list. And again, 424-2600. You want to call up and play along, everybody. Number two. New Order's Blue Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little shocked to see that high up there.
Yeah.
But again, you're going to talk 80s. You're going to talk some emo music. You're going to talk some of that. You're, you know, getting some of this in there. I think the remake of this became a little bit more popular to some people. But yeah, the original, anything New Order is definitely 80s.
Yeah.
I cannot argue that one. No fighting on that one. So let's see here. Number one on the list. And I do not argue this one. If you're talking about the ultimate 80s songs, Prince.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Purple Rain.
There we go.
Yeah. It's hard. And again, got the intro. Got the nice intro and everything. It's a good one. With this one, you don't just have the music video to go along with it. You got the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that changes it. But there's another part of this song that stands out to me, too. There's no synthesizer in this song.
No.
There's no... This is just a song. This is just a good song. I think it's part of the reason why it's so eternal is because it doesn't have any of those things that... Some of these other songs are great, but then you hear a keyboard or something and it brings you back... Oh, yeah, this is an old song.
Marks it exactly as 80s era.
Yeah, yeah. This song, no matter... If you never heard Purple Rain before and you hear it, you're like, ooh, is that a new jam?
Yeah.
Ooh, did that just come out? Oh, that sounds good. I like that. I mean, that's how good this song is. That's and that's a lot of Prince's music. There's not a whole... I can't say the same thing about Michael, but if you're talking about Prince, most his music, it doesn't matter when the copyright law is.
Right.
Like, it holds up. You can't say that about Michael Jackson, I don't think. I think there's a big difference between the two. Melissa, you said there were some that you didn't hear on the list.
No Chicago music.
Yeah, I know.
From the band Chicago.
Yeah. That's a good
one. That's the album I had, well, that I stole from my uncle.
Yeah.
When he wasn't looking, I borrowed his tape, his cassette tape. You're the Inspiration.
Yes.
One of my other uncles sang that in a band when I was little, and I got to go to the wedding, and I just... fell in love with that song.
We had that album. I loved that album.
And the other one is Richard Marx, Hold On to the Night.
That was probably my favorite 80s song when I was young.
Yeah?
Richard Marx alone. Chicago's own, by the way.
Yeah.
Chicago's own.
I'm listening to this going, where are all the songs that I used to dance to at school dances? Or long to have here? Yeah. So there was no Guns N' Roses. There was no Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah. No.
Those are the big ones that I remember wanting to hear when I would go to school dances in the 80s.
Take On Me from Aha.
Yes.
Didn't see that on there. And those are good references, you guys. Those are good. That was fun. That was a fun one. We're going to come back and we'll have some more fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
It is time for Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is do some celebrating. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Get there. Thank the gang for us. Wish them a great one from all of us here at WFHR. If you're celebrating a birthday or anniversary, or birthday, I should say, get on over there and let them know it's your birthday and you get a free slice of one of Brian's pies. And, of course, get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We want to celebrate with you, and it's not just us. Our listeners love this segment. Get it to us, everybody. Send it to info@WFHR.com or james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook as well. Pigeons. Our Perrier Kitchens. I don't know what those are, but, you know, those two. I mean,
it's okay, Poe, but he's nerfic.
Nice. Whatever you need, get us your birthdays and anniversaries.
Paper airplanes.
Oh, I like that one. That's a fun one. I like that. I came across something really cool the other day, actually. There's, because we've had a couple birds hit our windows.
Oh, that's not good.
Have you all heard of these things that you can put in your window? It's like a little crystal kind of thing. And birds see it, and then they tell other birds.
Really?
About it, yeah. And this is something that's been around forever, and I'm just finding out about. Yeah, they're really cool. I'm going to get some for the shop here and everything.
Very nice. Oh, so then they see it and know there's glass there, so they don't run into it?
Yeah, and then they'll tell other birds about it.
Who says birds don't talk?
Right, yeah.
That's
pretty cool. We only have one set of people we can wish, it's a good one here at least. So we want to wish a happy 47th anniversary to Jim and Pam Nguyen.
Happy anniversary. Happy congratulations.
So 45 is sapphire and 50 is gold. So something in between there, maybe.
Or a sapphire gold ring.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Come on.
Happy 47th, Jim and Pam.
Yes. Happy
47th. I make no bones about this. I've mentioned this to them before. I'm a little bit of a sucker for those names, especially considering that's my parents' names. very, very interesting. To another Jim and Pam, and I'm sure my parents wish you a fantastic one as well. Actually, my mom and dad are 46.
They got
46, so they're right behind, right there. Like, it's very easy for me to know. One year, my sister calls me up, Jimmy, how old are you? Like, whatever I said. It's like, okay, great, thanks. It's like, a couple hours later, she just hung up on me after that.
Okay.
Like, a couple hours later, I call her back. I'm like, hey, Beans, what was that all about and everything? Oh, I was trying to remember mom and dad saying how long they've been married. Funny. Yep.
Nice of you to keep track of that for her.
Yes. We take a look at our celebrity list now. Let's see here. Apollo Ohno is 41.
Oh, really?
Speed skater who won gold medals in both the 02 and 06 Olympics. In 2010, won one silver and two bronze. Beth, he did win.
He won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. do you remember what season?
I want to say it was like season 20.
Oh, okay. It says here he won the fourth season.
Oh, four. Okay, so it was earlier on. Mm. So, yeah, I believe with Julianne Hough.
So many.
If I'm correct. Julianne Hough, see? I do remember that.
That show is not hurting for ratings.
No.
Like, a lot of people have not liked what they did with the hosts and everything, but they seem to have, been able to survive that.
Because there's a mute button, and you can just, that's like the commercial break when you can go get snacks and the bathroom breaks, and then you can just come back and watch the dancing.
Yeah, you and my husband, I'm telling you. But they're actually doing a switch in hosts again. Yeah, Tyra is no longer doing it. Yeah. But Julianne Hough, who was a victor on Dancing with the Stars for a while, and whose brother happens to be a judge, is coming on as one of the co-hosts. So it'll be interesting to see how that transition happens.
It's another one of those stories. Oh, go ahead, Melissa. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just humming.
It is another one of those ones where their ratings were just going down a tiny bit, just a tiny bit, and they flipped out. They were like, oh, we got to get rid of Tom. We got to get, and no meeting should ever end with, we shouldn't have Tom Bergeron doing this anymore. Like, I don't begrudge them for doing it for winning and get ahead of things. That's smart. But man, did they really nix off their audience in a lot of ways with that.
And part of that was that Tom walked away. He was not liking the direction that they wanted to go with it. And so he took a stand and said, you know, I've said we don't need to have politicians on. And when they started to have more politicians on, he said, I'm done.
I heard that it didn't that he was there. And then they said they were bringing Tyra on. And that was like Tyra on. And that was like the final straw. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Either way.
Yeah.
You make it work then. Mm-hmm. Then if Tom Bergeron is saying that, you should be listening.
Exactly.
He's more than just a host. If you notice, he is a producer on a lot of these shows. And there are very few people that are so good at the MC job like he is. I have a deep respect for people that can do that job and not make it about them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but be memorable at the same time. That's very good. That's a talent to be able to do that. Maggie Q is 44, FBI agent Hannah Wells on Designated Survivor. She was also in Nikita and Divergent.
Okay.
Let's see here. Allison Eastwood is 51, Clint's daughter. She has had minor roles in Bronco Billy and Any Which Way You Can as a little kid and everything. But yeah, she's worked a little. Let me see here. Johnny Gill is 57, new edition solo singer.
Goodness.
Johnny Gill, again, we're talking about the 80s. There's one for you.
Yeah.
And another of the 80s, Morrissey is 64. Former leader of the Smiths, the big hit How Soon Is Now, of course, was used in a lot of different, like Charmed, I think. They're saying here Charmed and some other stuff. I really like the remake more. Morrissey is very disappointing to me, which I think he actually would like. For one, I don't think he would very much like, he wouldn't get along with me anyway. But being the brooding guy that he is and everything, I actually think he might be insulted if I told him I was a fan. I think he might like even more than I don't like him. Bernie Taupin is 73.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Elton John's brilliant songwriting partner. Elton has said this himself. You don't get that. You don't get Elton without Bernie.
Wow.
What I admire about Bernie Taupin is I have no idea what he looks like.
Yeah.
I have no idea what he looks like. I don't know what he sounds like. I've tried. I've looked into it and stuff. And he does not. He's not a big public guy and
good
everything.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what a talent. He may not be a public guy, but what a talent.
Yeah, really, really. What a songwriter. And when you, I admire and almost am jealous of songwriting partnerships like that. I've always wanted to work with somebody like that. And like have such a great relationship, like a great writing relationship with somebody. You can just sit down and work.
Yep.
Like the way that those two have done for decades. Decades. You look at the hits that those two have together. It's amazing. Some people are no longer with us. We touched on this earlier. The great Harvey Milk, born on this day in 1930, passed away in 1978. The first openly gay man to be elected to public office. In 1978, he won a seat on San Francisco's Board of Supervisors. 11 months later, he was murdered by another city supervisor. Sean Penn did an amazing job playing him in the movie Milk. The movie holds up. It's a good movie. I encourage you to read up about Harvey Milk. Whether you care about LGBTQ or not, I encourage you to read up on him. Because it's not just that the reason that I'm telling people to, although that is the first and foremost reason.
Right.
Our public officials are under fire right now, and we can't have that. Like, we can hold them accountable.
Right.
We can metaphorically hold their feet to the fire. That's our job as citizens. But no public official should ever have their life threatened.
No.
None. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
violence is not okay.
And this is becoming common. And why is it the same people that do that stuff are also the ones that when they see ethnic people rioting or anything like that, are like, oh, peaceful, you should be peaceful protesting.
Right.
But then these are the people that want to go to violence right away. Mm-hmm. They want to kidnap their governor or something like that. Like, miss me with that, man. And read up about Harvey Milk, because his story is very current, is very today. And this happened in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, born on this day in 1859, passed away in 1930, author and creator of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
And that's kind of about it. if Arthur Conan Doyle was around today, he would be very successful, and his publisher would also be saying, what's next?
Right.
it's so much so that his publisher back in the day, along with his audience, told him, hey, you cannot kill off your only character.
Yes.
And very interesting guy, very interesting guy. And one of those ones where I have to, for me and like a lot of people out there, you have to take, can you look at the art without the man? Can you separate the two and everything? Which I've been able to do with him, but I don't think you like Morrissey is another good example. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to the Smiths knowing what he's a jerk. Like, he's a piece of trash to me and everything. I have a hard time getting into the Smiths now, but with reading Sherlock, I have no problem. I can separate the two easily. Like everybody's got their line in the sand,
right?
And we're all kind of finding that now.
Mm-hmm.
One more time, want to wish a very happy anniversary to Jim and Pam Nguyen. Happy 47th anniversary, you two.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Happy anniversary.
Congratulations, you're our qualifiers today.
Enjoy your day.
Yeah,
enjoy the week.
Enjoy it. And head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us. Stick around for Melissa's News right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
Little Van Morrison for you to get the segment going. Some stand-up bass.
Yeah.
No, something like a stand-up bass or something about it. Love it. Such a smooth singer, too.
Yes.
Not like night loungy, not like, you know, everybody. What? Not like lounge singer-like or anything.
Right.
But touching on that a little bit. Good singer. We got to get into this right here. And we aren't the only ones that got to get into it. We got to get some audience participation.
All right.
Long time ago, Carl and I sent out to everybody morning show play at home versions. So you guys can play at home and everything.
Get them out.
Get ready to call 424-2600. Because I want to know, do you wear your shoes in the house or not? There are two types of homes. The ones where people wear shoes inside for comfort, convenience, and to reduce clutter by the doors and stuff. And the ones where people don't wear shoes inside because they don't. It's just a personal choice. I think it's interesting. There are so many times growing up where I went into a home expecting my shoes to come off and didn't, and vice versa.
Right.
So I think it's interesting. It's an interesting conversation. I don't care what this article says. To each their own.
Mm-hmm.
If you want people to wear your shoes in the house, do it. If you want them to take them off, do it. It's your home. You know,
right.
I think that's pretty fair. Let's go ahead and get into this poll, and then we'll take some answers here from some people out there. In a new poll, 63% of Americans say that they take their shoes off inside, while 37% do wear shoes inside.
All right.
But 76% are not willing to ask their guests to remove their shoes, including 67% of the group who don't wear shoes inside themselves. It isn't that impossible, though. 90% of people think that it's a reasonable request since it's your home.
Right.
10% think it's unreasonable. In the poll, it seems like the shoes off thing is more common among young adults. 44% of Gen Zers say that they ask guests to remove their shoes. 35% of millennials agree, as do 13% of Gen X and 7% of boomers. Let's go ahead and find out what one of our listeners thinks. Good morning. You're on the show.
I heard you guys wanted news about my house shoes.
Yes. We need that.
So I learned this from your very own Melissa Kay when she was my roommate.
Okay.
Melissa keeps clogs for inside shoe purposes. She has a separate pair of shoes. They're not slippers. They are shoes because they're safer. And she's right.
Why, thank you.
House
shoes.
You picked up on this? You have your own house shoes? You do yourself?
I do. I won a pair of Lisa Frank limited edition Crocs last summer, and they are still my house shoes.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
They are awesome. They're very
awesome.
Colorful.
Thank you. If the audience can't tell, this is Laura, Melissa's old former roommate and everything. Thank you, Laura. Good morning. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you for calling in.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great morning. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. That was great. I wouldn't have thought of that right out the gate. That is a good one. Melissa, is that something that you've done for a long time, or?
Well, yeah, I like wearing shoes in the house, but I don't want to wear the ones that I've been bopping mm-hmm. around outside in or, you know, walking around the yard. So I did have a specific pair of clogs or Crocs. They're off name Crocs mm-hmm. That I would wear in the house. So it just, I don't know. My feet feel better and my knees feel better. Maybe that's an age thing, but and it also keeps the house cleaner.
That part, I'm with you on that
part.
Yeah,
and my podiatrist told me that it's better to not go barefoot in the house, you should have something that has a more solid sole.
Support.
I mean, most mm-hmm. slippers are just that very thin thing. Mm-hmm. So there are slippers out there that have a harder sole, and if you can find mm-hmm. one that has a little bit of an arch support in it, those are the best to go with. But yeah, having a separate pair of shoes. So you are still wearing your shoes in the house, they're just not the same shoes you're wearing outside, because then you're not tracking in all of the dirt and the chemicals and things like that from outdoors.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And having the hard sole is useful too. We had a party it's been a bit now, but and gave the guests slippers because mm-hmm. the floors are cold in the winter. Well, they're also slippers are slippery on the stairs.
Yeah.
We discovered that.
So growing up, this was one of those things where my mom, like, it didn't matter that we were, grew up poor, any of those things. She was going to keep a clean house.
Mm-hmm.
The quote that I said the last week, that just because you were born in the slums does not mean the slums are born in you, from Malcolm X. That is something that my mother took to a whole, different level and everything. And it was very important. So it was growing up, shoes came off, and went back on as soon as you went out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I notice, even when I'm living on my own or I go into a house and I don't know the rules, it's what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, I just instinctively do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, necessarily, if it's something that I even have an opinion on. I just notice that I just do this.
Right.
I don't really think much. I don't even think mm-hmm. much about it. Because if you told me, hey, right now you got to decide, you'll have shoes the rest of your life or be barefoot, I don't know what I would do. I love being barefoot. I also really hate stepping on things.
that are sharp and...
Yes.
Especially mm-hmm. if you have kids in the house and mm-hmm. Legos and other things are there. Yep.
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 I'm not sure, necessarily what the... I don't think there's a quote-unquote right answer here. I think you have to go case by case, and you have to go by your own, the way you live.
And it's a cultural thing, too. I mean, you go overseas, and there are parts of Asia where you are offending family if you keep them on it.
But they'll also don't wear shoes in Japan.
Yeah, and they'll also have something or slippers or something there for you at the mm-hmm. door. And that's the way to, I think, the great bridge to do, because you're still welcoming people as they are, but offering them something to make them comfortable in the way that you're living your life, too.
Had mm-hmm. a friend growing up, Lehi, I can't. I feel so bad. I can't remember. It was so long ago. They were from Taiwan. They mm-hmm. they came here from Taiwan. They fought. They escaped basically to get here. Mm-hmm. Political oppression and everything. They get mm-hmm. here and they brought their grandmother with them, and the parents. And the child spoke pretty good English and everything. We're very, working to become more American. They mm-hmm. wanted to start a new life, a new traditions, new family here. The grandmother, of course, stuck in a lot of old traditions and everything. But one that she did not mind was wearing shoes in the house. this lady had, I can picture it right now if I close my eyes, one of the most genuine, beautiful smiles.
Aww.
And she had it on all the time. And a big part of it was, that's grandma. She's smiling because she has her shoes on. it was the funniest thing, but it was something she really loved, bucking against that kind mm-hmm. of tradition. Mm-hmm. For her, it was like rebelling. It was kind of fun. I'll never forget the look of her face. It was so good. We will take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little of AI and a little mowing your lawn.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Oh, there it is. All right. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Locally Grown Radio. All right, no. This had to have been in there. Mm-hmm. This should have been in there. I actually think this should be in there before Dancing with in the Dark.
Yeah.
this is much more 80s to me than Dancing in the Dark. Although, Well, both of them had iconic videos.
Oh, they did.
I was going to say that maybe Dancing in the Dark's more iconic, but I don't think so, actually. I think it's about one and one. I think they're tied.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Courtney Cox showing up, of course, in the Dancing in the Dark video, which is part of why it's so iconic. But with this one, you've got the movie Bruce. He's the pitcher and all that, and he's getting up on the mound and all these things. There was a story in there.
Yeah.
So let's get into this one right now. If you are still not ready to trust your kids to mow your lawn, what about artificial intelligence?
Oh, my goodness.
There is another robot mower on the way that uses AI technology to mow your lawn. It's called the Lawnmeister, and it's kind of like a Roomba for your lawn. It can navigate obstacles like pets, toys, and even, you know, dog debris in the grass. It doesn't chaotically zigzag through your property bouncing off of wires. It can mow in straight lines and can learn the digital boundaries of your yard, so it won't end up in a neighbor's lawn or out on the street. You can block off zones you want to handle yourself, like a kid's play area or near the garden, and teach it mowing schedules. Naturally, these things aren't cheap. Not that mowers are known for their affordability or anything like that either. In a recent Kickstarter, they started at about $1,000. The people who backed that project will get their mowers in August. The company says they plan on shifting to retail sales once those orders are fulfilled, but it's unclear where they're available and if the price will be the same. I had some thoughts on this, but Melissa, if I understand right, you know a little bit about these, right? Because I don't know anything about these. I don't know that you know necessarily, but your partner does.
Yes, Aaron has a Husqvarna robotic mower. And so, like they mentioned about the wires in the yard, that's what we have. So there's a wire around the perimeter of the yard and like around the driveway to keep it out of the driveway. And so it does mow continuously. And when it gets low on battery, it finds its way back to the charger most of the time.
Interesting.
It gets stuck here and there, like, you know, if there's a every once in a while it'll fall off the edge of the curb.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this new U-shaped clothesline in the yard, and so the rails for that are pretty low to the ground, so it will actually bump into it and kind of get up and get stuck on it every now and then. So I have to go out and rescue the mower every now and then. I call her Jillian. And,
nice. What we talked about earlier in the show today and everything, your clothesline. It makes a second appearance. There we go.
It does.
Have these images of a lawnmower like bumping up against the foundation of a building and causing damage either to the mower or to the building.
No, it's really small. It's the size of, let's see, what could I compare it to? It's like twice the size of your vacuum cleaner.
Okay.
And it's, you
is
know,
is it that tall as well?
No,
I'm thinking the Roomba is kind of small. And
yeah, it's like a Roomba. It's a little bit bigger than a Roomba, but I would say the whole thing is maybe, I don't know, 10 inches tall.
Wow.
And it doesn't move very fast, and it doesn't really make any noise either. It's got a spinning blade on the bottom that has razor blades in it, and so it maintains a lawn.
Gotcha. See, I there are a few things that I've done more than mowing. I've been mowing my whole life, and I've mowed so many lawns that there's a big part of me, and I think a lot of people out there that are like, hey, now we're talking AI. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're talking about AI doing something for us and everything. Yeah, get these lawns mowed. That sounds pretty cool and everything. But this, to me, is that ain't right story. And I'll tell you why. Teenagers. How dare they get away with this? Every teenager from now to the end of time should be mowing lawns. I don't even care if we get rid of grass. Get out there. Get out there and mow. Why am I pushing this mower on dirt? Because. No other reason. Because.
And for me,
it's a life lesson.
It's a life lesson. Yes, Melissa. No, teenager, you get a workout, you get some sun, and you get a passage.
And the satisfaction of a job well done.
Yes.
You know, when I was in North Dakota, I was the one, not Seth, I was the one that would go out and mow the lawn because we had this wonderful 360 riding lawnmower.
Oh, okay.
And it was meditative to go out there and to just just, you know, kind of do my thing, listen to my music, just kind of be in my own space. And then when I was done looking out going, wow, I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
That looks good. So we're taking all that away from people by saying, okay, just send your robot out.
Yeah, yeah. I also, if I don't know if they can handle the no mo may. I don't know.
That's the thing, because you said, Melissa, it was more for maintenance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can maintain a yard. They can't cut down tall grass.
So you still need to have somebody go out there and attack it.
Yep. AI can't take over yet. It's not tall enough.
Nope.
That's pretty funny. That is pretty interesting. I don't know. Given what you know about it, Melissa, do you like it? Does it? It's very handy.
And the reason my boyfriend got it is because he works 14-hour days.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
There's just no time to mow the lawn and having this to maintain. Now, you know, for people who aren't able to get out and mow their lawns anymore, this is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. To be able to program it is also kind of cool. I mean, there's limited availability of programming this one. And then, you know, we've had some issues with it, but they have a very nice warranty that paying for to, you know, get things up to date. So
should be interesting to see where this goes. Mm-hmm. I do love the idea of a knock at your door and it's a Roomba.
Mow your lawn for 10 bucks.
Mow your lawn for 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Like we'll take a break. We'll come back with nothing but fun. We'll take you into the 9 o'clock hour. Some great stuff on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.